Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you. We start our Lenten journey to Easter. We hope that you will really make it part of your life over these next 5-6 weeks. And we start this morning finding life in the desert. You have a little leaflet. Can I invite you maybe to, if you would like to take it out? We have the two readings that I'd like to read before I share what's on my own heart. I'll be giving you some other readings as well, and you may want to make a note of those during the service so that you can read them for yourselves afterwards. So two readings. The first one is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. At once, Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan, and straight afterwards, at once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. And then a very, very beautiful reading, very encouraging, from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. And I would love to invite you to memorize this passage so that you will always have it with you forever. And therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We thank God so much for those words that come to us in Scripture, and that as we think about them today, we ask that God will speak a word to each one of us. I want to begin, friends, this morning, if I may, I want to begin with a question. I wonder if you ever wrestle with temptation. Do you ever find yourself, for example, being tempted to eat or drink more than is wise? Do you ever find yourself tempted to deceive or to cheat or to take a bribe and call it by some other word? Do you ever have those thoughts? Do you ever find yourself being tempted to be unfaithful to the person that you're married to? Do you ever have those thoughts going around in your head? Do you ever find yourself being tempted to overcommitment? My daughter often says to me, "Dad, the devil comes to you disguised as an invitation to speak somewhere." Do you ever get tempted to buy more than you need? I should say to my daughter, the devil often comes to you disguised in the temptation to buy another pair of shoes. Do you ever get tempted? Do you ever get tempted to discouragement? To want to just throw the towel in on life? To despair? Do you sometimes get tempted to just end it all? to just end it all? If your answer is no, I don't get tempted, you're either an angel or you're dead. You really are. Temptation is like part and parcel of what it means to be a flesh and blood human being. It's coming to us all the time. Crazy thoughts, weird thoughts, negative thoughts, destructive thoughts, all the time. I love the story about temptation of the guy who, when Lent started, decided for 40 days that because he often would eat unwisely when he wanted to comfort himself, he would have no high-calorie sweets, biscuits, or cake for 40 days. And so he told his colleagues at work just to hold him accountable. And he said, look, I really want you to hold me accountable. I don't want to eat anything sweet. One day he rocks up at work with this high-calorie chocolate fudge cake. And the guys say, hey man, we thought you made this commitment for 40 days not to eat cake. He said, no, I was on my way to work and I saw this cake shop and I saw this cake in the window. So I knew I had made a commitment not to have any cake. So I said to God, God, if you want me to have this cake, there will be a parking spot right outside the cake shop. And then he said to the guys, you won't believe it. But on my 15th time around the block, there was a parking spot right outside the cake shop. It's amazing, hey, that when we give in to temptation, we either blame the devil or God. We just avoid responsibility. Friends, it's against this backdrop that we head into a theme for today. And it's a theme, I want to warn you, goes very, very deep. Goes very deep. Very deep. It's a life and death theme for many of us. It's the theme of temptation. You know, when you read the Bible, I hope you do that, when you read the Bible, and especially when you read the New Testament, and especially when you read the Gospels, we become aware that we live, does this make sense? We live 24/7, we live in the midst of spiritual conflict. And the battle lines of this conflict run through every human heart. Through my heart and through your heart. That when we read the Gospels, we are aware, when we read the New Testament, when we read the whole of the Bible, that there is a dark power. There is a dark power. And in the Bible, there are many names for that mysterious dark power. The devil, Satan, the evil one, the adversary, many different names. There is a dark power who is out to spoil human life. Who is out to spoil your life, my life. Out to spoil our relationships and our marriages and our families. Out to spoil our churches and our communities and schools. Out to spoil our universe. And the main strategy, please hear me, the main strategy of this dark power is temptation. Is temptation. And that's how we read today. Jesus, do you remember that moment? Immediately after he's baptized. That's an incredible moment for him. Incredible. He hears the Father saying to him, you are my son, my beloved. Immediately after that, the Spirit of God leads him into the desert. Notice this. The Spirit of God is not the tempter. The Spirit of God leads him into the desert where he is tempted, we are told, by this dark power. By this dark power. And I've just been thinking about that sentence. I've been meditating on it through this week. And I've been asking God to teach me through that sentence. And I just want to share a few things with you. I have about 12 or 15 minutes to do that. You may just want to make a few notes. And the first thing that became just very clear for me, very clear, as I meditated upon that sentence, as I meditated upon Jesus being tempted by the evil one, was this. It's wonderful news. Temptation is not a sin. Temptation's not a sin. And I want to say that loudly and clearly. Temptation is not a sin. And I find that so encouraging, because when I have all these crazy, dark, weird thoughts, I think, you know, I'm going down the tube. It's not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's part and parcel of our humanity. Huh? Just look at this verse again. Look at it carefully and think about it. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with, but we have someone who is who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus was tempted, can you believe this, to be deceptive. Can you believe it? Jesus was tempted like that. Jesus was tempted to be unfaithful to the commitments that he had made, but was without sin. Huh? Temptation is not a sin. It's a moment of choice. It's a moment of personal responsibility. It can be a difficult moment. And often, have you noticed this? Temptations become more intense in certain situations. Jesus was alone, and it seemed like in that place of isolation, and there was an intensity to the temptations. I have many friends who are recovering addicts. Many friends. And they've taught me something. They have an acronym. It's the word HALT, H-A-L-T. And the letters of that word describe four situations when they can often be tempted to relapse. H stands for hurry. That when they're always living in a hurry, they need to be careful. A for anger. If they're in a place of anger, they need to be careful. L is loneliness. That when they're lonely, they need to be careful. It's a difficult moment. T stands for tiredness. When they're tired, they need to be careful. There are moments when temptation becomes intense. But temptation itself is not a sin. I hope you're encouraged by that. I really do. But I want to share another thought. I want to suggest, and I'm going to struggle, I know, to communicate this, but I'm going to do my best. Temptation goes much deeper than we think. Much deeper. You see, very often when we think temptation, we think of what we think of the sins of the flesh, like gluttony and lust and covetousness and laziness and all that stuff, and they are dangerous. But temptation is much, much, much more deeper. Much deeper. Much deeper. Go back to the very first story in the Bible. Do you remember it when Adam and Eve are in the garden? Do you remember that moment? And God says, just look again carefully. And the Lord God commanded the man, I love, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. God is generous. God's not a spoiled sport. You can eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now just look at those words. We often misunderstand those words. We often think, well, you know, God doesn't want us to work out what is good and evil. Of course God wants us to work out what is good and evil. Moral discernment is critical. Critical. We've got to suss out what is true and false and good and bad. God is saying very, very clearly, don't work that out apart from me. Stay in relationship with me. Don't ever become, as it were, the source of your own life. Don't play God. Let me be God. Let me call the shots. Don't play. Don't enter into rivalry with me. Don't become your own God. And so when the evil one comes, and just look at this verse, the evil one comes, and I want you to notice the subtlety of the temptation. And the evil one comes to the woman and said, now look at that. Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? There is temptation at its heart. Did God really? Huh? Don't take God serious. Don't trust God. Don't trust God. That's the heart of temptation. Don't trust God. Huh? Don't trust that God really cares for you. Don't trust that God really loves you. Don't trust that God really has your interests at His. Don't trust that. Did God really say? Don't trust God. And it's often when life goes wrong, huh? Often when life falls apart, that there's this voice in our hearts that says, you see, you can't trust God. You can't trust God. You know that voice. I know that voice. And often we go through a moment of tragedy or loss. We lose a business. We go through a divorce. Life goes upside down. What is that? There's the struggling. Do you trust God now? Look what's happened. That's the subtlety of the evil one. You cannot trust God, you see. I told you. I never forget my mentor. I have a mentor. He's been a great help to me. I often use some of his words. His name was Dallas. Dallas Willard is Dallas Willard. He once said these words to me about 15 years ago. He said, Trevor, let me say something to you. I don't ever want you to forget it. Don't ever believe anything bad about God. I've never forgotten that. Don't ever believe anything bad about God. And I don't know how many times since then I have been tempted to believe something bad about God. And those words come back to me. Don't ever believe anything bad about God. And someone here today maybe needs to hear those words. Can I say one more thing? Can I say to you, friends, don't ever try face temptation on your own. Don't ever try face temptation on your own. You see, sometimes, and we're very self-sufficient, we're well-educated, huh? We've been to school and varsity. We hold down important jobs. Have you noticed in the newspapers that it's usually clever people who do destructive things? Often. Intelligence is no guarantee against evil. No guarantee. The worst evil in our world has been done by people who are very intelligent. I've learned not to trust my cleverness. Don't trust your willpower, huh? Or your mind power. Yes, we've got some willpower, we've got some mind, but don't trust it against temptation. Don't trust it. It's going to let you down. We need a high priest. We need a deliverer. We need someone who's been through it and conquered. Let me just put it bluntly. We need Jesus Christ. And we need Him desperately. Desperately. I wish I had time this morning, and you are so glad I don't have time. But I just wish I had time this morning to take the story of his temptations and put them against the backdrop of Israel's temptations in the Old Testament. Do you remember Moses, and he led the people out of Israel? He led them through the river, through the river. Remember, Jesus went through the river. He leads the people of Israel through the sea, the Red Sea. And then they go into the desert, and there they are tested. Do they trust God? Will they obey God? Will they worship God alone? And they fail every test. They fail every test. Jesus goes through the water, goes into the desert. He's repeating the story of Israel, but he passes the tests, each one of them. He trusts perfectly. He obeys perfectly. He worships perfectly. And he comes to us as the high priest who has been through it all and triumphed. In our moment of temptation. Let me put that in a real story from real life. Someone comes to me this week. Young guy. I don't know, maybe late 20s. Following Jesus Christ for maybe 2 years. Wants to find Jesus' way for his life. Must have been a few months ago. He decided to tell his girlfriend, a beautiful girl, to tell her about his past. And it just threw her. It just threw her terribly, terribly. And she decided to have time out from the relationship. She just wanted, and he understood that, and he thought it would be like a week. And she'd make up her mind and come back to him. But it's been months now. Months. She hasn't made up her mind. And he doesn't know what way it's going to turn out. And I don't know what. And so what's beginning to happen is he's struggling to trust. You know, can I still trust God? Is God going to work all this out wonderfully for me? Well, I don't know that. But he's in a battle of trust. So what do I say to him? He's in a desert, and all I can say to him is stay joined to Christ and let Christ's perfect trust empower your feeble trust. And let Christ's perfect obedience empower your faulty obedience. Just let, you've got a high priest. He's been there. Just look at these words. Don't ever forget them. We have a high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now look at this. Let us hold firmly. Let us stay joined to the faith that we profess. Let us then, watch this, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that, and it should go to the next verse, we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Some of you are in that desert at the moment. You don't know how life's going to turn out. You've been pulled apart. You've been tempted not to trust God. Stay close to the high priest. Can I end? That's where I was going to end. And as I was leaving Benoni this morning, I had my passport in my pocket. And I was heading towards the north. A thought dropped into my head. And the thought was this: Trevor, you are going to speak about overcoming temptation. What about those this morning who have given in to temptation and whose lives are broken and messed up and chaotic? And some of you are there. And all I want to say to you, with all the faith of my own heart, you have a high priest, friend. You have a high priest. And his name is Jesus. And he defeated the evil one. And he went to the cross and he died. And his death tells you and me that there is nothing that we can ever do that puts us beyond God's love. Isn't that good news? I just want to weep when I say that. I just want to weep. There is nothing that we can ever do that puts us beyond redemption. Never. And sometimes, you see, when we do things wrong, the devil changes hats. He takes off the hat of being tempter, and he puts on the hat of being the accuser. And he says, you see, you no good. You're hopeless. You're a bad boy and you're a bad girl, and God wants nothing to do with you. That's a dark voice, and many of us have heard that voice. And Jesus comes into that darkness and he whispers to us, you are my beloved and I died for you, and I want to offer you my resurrected life so that you can enter into a new life. Join to me so that you can overcome temptation as it comes to you when you leave this place and enter into your daily life. We have a high priest, and his name is Jesus, and I commend him to you today. Amen. Amen. You can say amen too. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes our trust becomes very weak. And we feel that we're kind of hanging on to life by our fingertips. Hanging on to you by our fingertips. But we want to join you today in the desert. Your perfect trust, your perfect obedience, your perfect worship. And we ask you, Son of God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet us as we struggle and to empower our feeble trust and to strengthen our faulty obedience and to focus our dubious worship. Come, Lord, meet us today. May we find in you mercy and the grace that we need. And all of God's people said together, Amen. May the joy of the risen Christ be with you, friends. Have a great day. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.